ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 17 एंटाइटल द डिसेंट ऑफ द रिवर गैंजेस टेक्स्ट 4 तत अनेक सहस्र कोटि विमानानीक संकुल देवयानेन अवतरन्ति इंदुमंडलम आवार्य ब्रह्मसदने निपतति। ततः कैन रिपीट ततः ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। After purifying the seven planets near Dhruva Loka, the pole star, the Ganges water is carried through the spaceways of the demigods in billions of celestial airplanes. Then it inundates the moon, Chandra Loka, and finally reaches Lord Brahma's abode atop Mount Meru. Purport. They should always remember that the Ganges River comes from the causal ocean beyond the covering of the universe. After the water of the causal ocean leaks through the hole created by Lord Vamanadeva, it flows down to Dhruva Loka, the pole star, and then to the seven planets beneath Dhruva Loka. Then it is carried to the moon by innumerable celestial airplanes, and then it falls to the top of Mount Meru, which is known as Sumeru Parvata. In this way, the water of the Ganges finally reaches the lower planets and the peaks of the Himalayas. And from there, it flows through Haridwar and throughout the plains of India, purifying the entire land. How the Ganges water reaches the various planets from the top of the universe is explained herein. Celestial airplanes carry the water from the planets of the sages to other planets. So-called advanced scientists of the modern age are trying to go to the higher planets, but at the same time they are experiencing a power shortage on Earth. If they were actually capable scientists, they could personally go by airplane to other planets. But this they are unable to do. Having now given up their moon excursions, they are attempting to go to other planets, but without success. In this verse, the descent of the river Ganga from the causal ocean through the hole created by Lord Vamandev's toes, and then coming into the universe, dropping on to Dhruva Loka first, from there to the planets of the seven sages, and later how carried by Sahasra Koti Viman Anika. Anika means a group. Just like even in Bhagavad Gita, this word Anika is used. Hordes and hordes of soldiers. So Sahasra Koti Viman Anika. Billions of airplanes. Devatas, Devayanena, by the spaceways. It's like we have highways for regular, we have waterways, charted waterways, we have railways. Similarly, airways are also charted. Similarly, it says there are spaceways specifically charted where these Sahasrakoti Vimana, the devatas, carry within their planes the waters of the Ganga, and then they bring it to moon planet, Chandraloka. And from there, it comes to the Nipatati. It just falls down to the lower planets and comes to Mount Sumeru, atop the abode of Lord Brahma. And then it hits the Himalayan mountain, from where it just flows through Haridwar, plains of India, and then reaches the ocean. And immediately, Srila Prabhupada connects in every words. I read this beautiful How to Study Srimad Bhagavatam by Bhurijan Prabhu and others. They have made a very beautiful book where they say in every verse how to extract the main point and then see the connection between verse to verse, between chapter to chapter, between canto to canto. Because before an author writes something, he has a clear thing in mind, what he wants to communicate to the readers. He's very clear. And after he knows, now he delineates how best to plan it in such a way to build up the whole thing and ultimately come to the conclusion. So first he understands exactly what it is. And then he wants to present it. And how do you present? Ultimately, deep realizations of the author are put into words. That's how it is communicated. Either words, or that is recorded in a tape recorder, or that is put in a letter form in books. And anyone who accesses that, if he is properly, attentively, eagerly taking information from that, through those words, through those pages and through the medium of sound, he is accessing the heart of the author and eventually must come to the same conclusion as the author. Then the study of the book is successful. So similarly, the author here is Srila Vyasadeva, and he has communicated something in this book. What was his idea before writing this book? He had a plan. And what is his plan? We must access. And that is described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva compiled all the Vedic literatures simply so that people can actually get the benefit and get the ultimate perfection of life. But then he was not satisfied. And then Narad Muni came and explained to him why he is not satisfied. And then he told him the truth. And after telling the truth, he said, now you explain this in your own words in the literature that you're now going to compile. And through this, people should access this information and adopt it in their life in such a way that they reach the same realization that you have reached. After so many compilations, whatever conclusion you have reached, that you can't be satisfied until and unless you have done this particular part. And what is that? That is unconditional, uninterrupted, devotional service to the cause of all causes, the source of everything, Supreme Lord Krishna. Therefore, in the beginning itself, in the beginning of the book, they always give what I am going to explain in this book. The Janmadhyasayataha, Anvayadhyatarastaj. With the first three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, what I am going to present is given. And simultaneously, glorification of the Lord, praying the blessings. Mangalacharan. So, Narad Muni told him, in the fifth chapter, Narad Muni gives a very good purport. He speaks three verses, and then he says, you elaborate on this, that's all. He says, you just elaborate on this in the next literature that you're going to write. which will be the conclusion of all literatures. And what is that? He says, he first says how I was so fallen, but I took up this process of pure devotional service in the association of great souls, and then I perfected my life. And then he says, idam hi pumsa tapasa, before that he says, idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro yato jagat sthana nirodha sambhavah tadhi swayam veda bhavam sthathapite pradesha matram bhavatah pradarshitam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Himself this cosmos, and still He is aloof from it. From Him only has this cosmic manifestation emanated. In Him it rests, and unto Him it enters after annihilation. Your good self knows all about this. I have given only a synopsis. Your goodness has perfect vision. You yourself can know the Supreme Personality of Godhead because you are present as the plenary portion of the Lord. Although you are birthless, you have appeared on this earth for the well-being of all people. Please, therefore, describe the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, more vividly. And then he concludes in the third verse. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerities, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of the hymns, and charity, culminates in the transcendental description of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. So, he says that the Lord, idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro, the whole cosmic manifestation is actually nothing but the Lord, and yet the Lord is beyond all this. The example is given just like a tree has branches and leaves, but the leaves and branches are not the tree. A body has hands and legs. A body it already includes hands and legs, but hands and legs are not the body in and of itself. Similarly, everything is coming from the Lord, always connected with the Lord, exists within the Lord. Still, the Lord is outside of everything. That is this inconceivable oneness and difference, achintya bheda bheda tattva. This is the truth. And anyone who is established in that truth can actually be properly situated. And only when a person is properly situated can he be satisfied and happy. And therefore now, describe this truth. How ultimately everything is coming from the Lord, always connected with the Lord, and is meant to be utilized in the service of the Lord. That's it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. This is what Narada Muni told. That's all. That's what you have to do. This is the essence in one word, in one few sentences, the essence of Bhagavatam. So, establish this. So the point here is, why I'm saying all this, is through the parampara, the great acharyas bring the book alive. That's the contribution of the parampara. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a lecture, he mentioned this very nicely. He said, sometimes when we read books or the teachings of powerful acharyas of the past, something like, say, Jesus Christ, very powerful, it actually churns our heart, every word of these great souls, what they have spoken in connection with the absolute truth. When they speak, they actually churn our heart, they inspire. But then you feel it's all very nice, but it's not practical. It takes you up there, but you can't practically apply it. You don't see a role model. You don't see its practical application. In today, that particular truth spoken 2,000 years ago, how can it be applied today? How is it practical? How is it possible? That connection is not seen. And therefore, even though people get inspired, ultimately they gradually just put it on the side. But that same truth, that same inspiration that was derived at that time by the people who listen can be accessible today if heard in an unbroken chain of disciple succession by the current acharya. Two days from now we are going to celebrate Gita Jayanti. Prabhupada called his Gita, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. What does it mean as it is? The benefit that Arjun got 5,000 years ago on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, if we also can access that same conclusion, that means we have heard Bhagavad Gita as it is. Nashto moha smitir labdhva tat prasadat mayachyuta sthitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Sarvameta dhritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava. Arjuna's conclusion was param brahma param dhama pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam. I accept you are the ultimate source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabho matta sarvam pravartate. And therefore, you are part and parcel. Nashto moha. I have got this illusion that I am separate, independent. That I have is gone. Smritir labdho. I got my memory back. That I am eternally your part and parcel. First your part and parcel, then everything else, all other designations. But without relation with this designation, it's all illusory. Sitosmi gata sandeha. I have absolutely no doubts. Doubts about the absolute truth, all the different philosophies other than Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is doubts, various kinds of doubts about the absolute truth. They take a doubt and build a philosophy around it. So any other philosophy other than Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, which is the absolute truth, is simply a confused mindset putting a philosophy around that. And what is the proof that it is not? Because following that philosophy cannot give one satisfaction, cannot give one true joy and happiness and eternal satisfaction or joy. This is the proof. So people, there are only two possibilities. You change your mindset or you change your thinking values to the absolute value. That is spirituality. And when people can't do that, they take their own and build a philosophy around it. That is all the different vaad. There is only one vaad. And that is the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Everything else, just like long back, I saw a cartoon picture. There's a man with a bow and arrow shooting at a bullseye. And sometimes he hits on the seventh circle. Sometimes he's close to the fourth circle. Sometimes he's trying to come close to the second circle. Rarely hitting the bullseye. And there is another person who is hitting the arrows, and surprisingly, amazingly, every time he is hitting the bullseye perfectly. And the next picture shows why he is hitting the bullseye every time. Because what he does is, he has a wall of wood and he shoots arrows. And wherever it hits, he draws a bullseye around it. And therefore, every time he hits a bullseye. So people have their own understanding of what is philosophy. Philosophos. Philosophos means love for truth. They have their own understanding. I am this body, the goal of life is enjoy. And they build a philosophy around it. And therefore, they live that philosophy. Why? They are perfect acharyas. Because they follow what they preach. But then that whole thing is based on their own conception of what is the truth. And the devotees of the Lord are striving to come closer to the absolute. And therefore it's a struggle. Because it's not easy. Millions of lifetimes of conditioning. Then you have to go closer and closer and closer. And one who knows actually, one who comes in contact with the acharyas can immediately connect and relate to the current world and know what exactly is the fault. How far away are we from the bullseye and how far we have to go to actually hit the bullseye. So the Vaishnava philosophy is so exalted, so high. It's like your head is in the seventh cloud. But simultaneously the acharya's purports make sure that even though your head is in the seventh cloud, your feet is on the ground. That means how to relate that philosophy in today's day and situation. So here Prabhupada, in this purport, in this verse, saying that how from so many vimanas, the Ganges water is brought and poured on the moon planet and from there it flows. Now, what does Prabhupada, which verse or which one does he take? There are so many. Sometimes Prabhupada writes, so this word is very significant. Significant for us to relate. So what can we get from this particular verse? What is there for us? What's in it for me? So Prabhupada says, after in this verse, he says, celestial airplanes carry water from the planets of the sages to other planets. So-called advanced scientists of the modern age are trying to go to the higher planets, but at the same time, they are experiencing a power shortage on Earth. If they were actually capable scientists, they could personally go by airplane to other planets, but this they are unable to do. Having now given up their moon excursions, they are attempting to go to other planets but without success. Now, who is a scientist? A person who lives or understands science. Now, what is science? Science, Prabhupada amazingly, so perfectly defines. A person of knowledge means he can define things in essence, eloquence means essential truth spoken concisely. That is eloquence. And only a person who knows the absolute truth can define everything in its proper perspective. So Prabhupada defines science. Science means to know things as they are. Such a crisp, perfect definition. Science means to know things as they are. That's a scientist. And how is everything? Everything is connected with the Lord. Coming from the Lord is maintained by the Lord and eventually enters into the Lord. So to see everything in connection with its original source is to see things as they are. Then you are a perfect scientist. And what is the proof that you are seeing things as they are? When you see things as they are, that means there is no problem. Why do we acquire knowledge? The whole purpose of acquiring knowledge is so that we can solve problems. Problems are due to ignorance. Problems arise when things are not used for what it is meant for. Then we land up in problem. So if you have knowledge, that means you are able to solve problem. What is the use of big, big books, big, big theories when you are not solving the problem? There is a big power shortage and then you are going to the moon.
First solve, you know, charity begins at home. You're solving the whole world's problem, but your own problem you can't solve. That means somewhere there is something wrong.
Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshanti marjavam, acharyopasanam, shaucham, sthairyam, atma vinigraha. In the 8th chapter, in the 13th chapter, 8th to 12th verse, Krishna says, etad jnanam iti proktam, ajnanam yattad anyatha.
All the conclusion of truths, a real scientist, a real philosopher, a real politician, a real teacher, a real educationist, will become a real personality, real scientist, worth his salt, when he comes to this conclusion. Utility is the principle. Everything should be utilized for only one purpose, and that is for what it is meant for.
Avichyutortham kavibhir niropito yad uttama shloka gunanu varananam. Everything is created by the Lord and everything is meant to be utilized in the service of the Lord. And that's why Prabhupada said, utility is the principle. So you have scientific inclination, scientific brilliant intelligence. Use it to establish the existence, the supremacy of the Supreme Lord and how everything should be used in the service of the Lord. A real philosopher should philosophize to come to this point. A real teacher should teach this truth. Otherwise, you're not a teacher, you're a cheater. A real politician should administer in such a way that everyone leads a life which is conducive or harmonious with the truth. That is governing, that is managing things. So immediately he relates. He says, if you are a real scientist, then use it to get the most holiest of holy waters. Use the airplane to carry these substance, the holiest of holy water, from one place to the other to purify everyone. That's the purpose of an airplane. To transport. Transport what? To transport things which are ultimately beneficial for everyone. If that's not, then what is the use of all transporting? It is simply increasing sense gratification, simply increasing entanglement. And therefore, immediately he relates. So this is the purpose of airplanes. The demigods are using billions of airplanes and spaceways simply to get the greatest welfare work. Ganges water. Tadiyanam is the holiest. Gangara parasha hoile paschate pavam. Simply by touch of the Ganges, the breeze flowing above the Ganges, everyone is getting purified. She's exclusively come down for this purpose. She was brought for this purpose. And therefore, to transport it everywhere. Darshane pavitra karo. Higher than that is a devotee of the Lord. So all airports should have given this free access. We went to Golden Temple recently. When we went to Golden Temple, one wonderful thing, such a cultured place. They saw 2-3 saffron people sitting inside the vehicle. They didn't stop it. Even before, not the day when it was all fixed and the police were escorting us, but even the other day, when nobody knew. They were just on the way we were going towards that side. And then all of a sudden, 2 cars were diverted in front of us. Devotees were sitting, but they were in their regular clothes and driving. So they moved them. So we thought we should also move aside. So we were about to go. But this is, we were shocked. So is there some flag or something, just like government flag, you know, some light is revolving. So I said, what is in it that he saw which he allowed? He just said, immediately blew that whistle and opened the gate and said, I was wondering, is there some sticker or something which, you know, tells, it's like, you know, you have a red cross, and he says, okay, go inside. Because he saw some sadhus inside, immediately allowed. So Prabhupada then he would go from airport to airport. All these people would, customs people would just trouble him. He was feeling like that. So that is for others. Vasudeva Kutumbakam. But for a devotee of the Lord, he can travel anywhere because he ultimately is going for this welfare work. And so help transport, to help assist, all the facilities ultimately should be utilized for this purpose. That's the only purpose of all the airplanes. To facilitate preaching, because the whole purpose of material existence is simply to give an opportunity for all the rebellious souls to come back home, back to God. That's the only purpose of creation. And therefore, anyone who has made his plan, the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and utilizes whatever ability and facility and time he has at his disposal to harmoniously act according to the plan of the Lord, that is the perfection, that is Hari Kirtan. Idam hi pumsa tapasa shrutasya va swishtasya suptasya buddhidattayo yad avichyutortham kavibhir. All the great souls have concluded, this is the conclusion. So even from Bhagavatam, otherwise this Bhagavatam, before getting in contact with real parampara, had someone read this, just like Govind Prabhu was telling yesterday about how Bhakti Charu Maharaj made a statement that fifth canto is like a doorway, you know, which will allow people. Only after passing through fifth canto can you enter into sixth canto. Sixth canto is Poshanam, how the Lord is a maintainer of everything, how His mercy is maintaining everything, sustaining everything. You can't access before fifth canto. And fifth canto is like any rational headed fellow will drop the fifth canto. Finish. Hellish planet and all that. And a faithful person will get inspired, because he sees through the eye of the scriptures, through the eye of the acharyas, he can relate. It becomes a living truth. And he can see, actually. That's the contribution of the great acharyas. They make that same truth, which was available, relevant and immediately applicable and accessible to the people at large. That is their greatest contribution. And people are inspired to actually enter into the sacred, take a dip in the holy waters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually is bathing. This is Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that through his words, through his purports, is actually giving us access to take a bath every day in the nectarian mass of this body of water. Every day we are bathing in the Ganga. He also traveled all over and made this Ganga available. He gave us the holy purports to this Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. So any questions? Yeah. Use the mic.
According to the construction of the universe, Brahmalok Satyalok is above the moon planet. So how come the path of the Ganges came from Dhruvaloka, it came to moon planet and then went back up again and then came to the earth planet?
No. Prabhuji's question is, according to the geography, Brahmaloka is above. And how did it come from pole star to moon and then to Brahmaloka? Actually, what it says is, then it inundates the moon and finally reaches Lord Brahma, Brahma's abode atop Meru, Mount Meru. not the Brahmaloka there, but Brahma's abode atop Mount Meru. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, then it is carried to the moon by innumerable celestial airplanes, and then it falls to the top of Mount Meru, which is known as Sumeru Parvata. In this way, the water of the Ganges finally reaches the lower planets and peaks of the Himalayas. Just like there is Kailash, I mean, this is the understanding. Kailash is also on the Himalayas, and there is also Kailash beyond the Viraja. The abode of Lord Shiva is beyond that also. The Brahma Loka and then the Viraja, and then there is what is that Brahma Samhita prayer? Devi Mahesh Haridham Asuteshu Deshu Mahesh Dham. But at the same time, we also have Kailash, Mount Kailash, where Ravana was traveling, you know. So there are different, it's like his, when he descends, this is his abode, probably. So from this description, it appears that it is after Chandraloka, there is also a Sumeru mountain. From there it flows down again. So we accept it. Yes, Prabhu. Can you use the mic?
Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu, you said that all other philosophies are based on doubt. So how other Vaishnava philosophy, like Vishishta Advaita and Dvaita,
they are all the philosophies?
That Achintya Bheda Abhed is the best philosophy because all of the philosophies are based on doubt. So how come Vishishta Advait and Dvait, which are also Vaishnava philosophies, based on doubt?
All the Vaishnava philosophies are giving the same truth. All the philosophy. Only thing is their emphasis is different. According to time, place, their emphasis. Madhvacharya gave Dvaita. He emphasized the difference. Because he came immediately after. See, first Shankara, on the order of the Supreme Lord, to bring back the Vedic scriptures, spoke Advaita. And in one sense, that is also right. But he only emphasized the unity part. But if one accepts that as all in all, then it is not complete understanding. But a person who knows this, Achintya Bheda, can accept. Yeah, there is unity also. And there's another one. And then came Vishishta Advaita of Ramanuja, who says, yeah, there is Advaita is there. Because all of a sudden, if you tell, it's too much to digest. So therefore, it says, all right, Vishishta Advaita. He gives the example of the waves and the ocean. The waves are a part of the ocean, still the waves are different. That's why they are called waves. But still it's the ocean and it's not the ocean. Or the ocean are not the waves. Then Dvaita. Madhvacharya basically came to kick out even the small traces of unity as conceived by the followers of Shankara. Therefore, he emphasized the Dvaita aspect more. There is difference between the Lord and living entity. There's difference between the living entity and the material nature. There's difference between the material nature and the Lord. There's difference. He emphasized the difference more. So much so that many of his followers hate to hear of oneness. One time, Shyamanand Prabhu was telling, he was traveling by train and he met a follower of Madhvacharya. So he said, so we are part and parcel. Ah, part and parcel? He said, this, take off this word. I don't like this word. The Lord is, the living entity is part and parcel. It's a part and parcel. No unity. Absolutely separate. Pakka follower. A fanatic follower of Madhvacharya. So he emphasized that. But Mahaprabhu harmoniously brought it. Because, you know, roads were prepared. By that time, both were known. Then Mahaprabhu came and perfectly harmonized everything. This philosophy was before there also. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. And in the 9th chapter, 4th verse, he says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshovastitah nachamatsthani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram. I am all pervading by my energy. Everything is in me, but I am not in them. Still, I am in every one of them. Absolutely bewildering. And Krishna says, I spoke the same knowledge to sun god 40 billions of years ago. So Achintya Bheda is there in the 9th chapter, 4th and 5th verse. And Krishna spoke this to sun god. It has always been the truth. But according to time, place and circumstance, the acharyas emphasize something more. The emphasis may vary. But the Siddhanta is never different. The conclusion is never changed. Is that clear? Yeah.
Prabhu, another question. Achintya Bheda, you said that Achintya Bheda Abheda is best philosophy because in practice it gives eternal bliss and joy. So in our condition, we don't know what is eternal and what is actually bliss and joy. So how can we relate to this thing?
Can you speak? I can't understand what you said.
When you said that Achintya Bheda Abheda is the best philosophy,
yeah,
because in practice it, yeah, gives eternal bliss and joy.
Yeah.
So my question is that we don't know what is eternal. We don't have any conception what is eternal, what is bliss and what is joy. Actually, what is bliss and joy? So how can we understand it practically?
How can we?
Understand it practically.
Understand it practically. That we are eternal and that will give us joy. Adav Shraddha. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you wearing dhoti kurta?
Some faith.
Why have you decided to come to Srimad Bhagavatam? You could be doing so many wonderful things. So called, many, many, many choices are there. But why have you given this a priority? I'm sure you must have experienced something. That is the first proof. That is the first proof. Otherwise you wouldn't be here in the first place. Right? But the first time it is experienced very nice, but second time, after some time, you want a little more. So then you feel, this I have already experienced. Little more, little more. So Adav Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. And Prabhupada gives a nice explanation, a simple explanation, that Dehi Nosmi Nyatha Dehi. In that he says, every time there is always a past, there's always been a future. So why not after giving up the body? I mean, it has always been there. Continuity is always there in everything. Even this makes sense. Everything has a past and a future. How is it that all of a sudden after death there is nothing? There has to be. Otherwise, things doesn't make sense. Why people come with different kinds of mentality, with different kinds of situation? Otherwise, everything is haywire. What is philosophy? It should be able to explain all the phenomena perfectly, harmoniously. Let's take this part. He's talking about, you know, scientists, about the cosmos. This is a simple thing. How today's scientists see the cosmos as dull matter. You know, simply balls of earth floating in the air. And they try to explain things by that. But they are not able to explain many other phenomena satisfactorily. But through this philosophy, we are able to explain everything satisfactorily. I was other day giving example of allopathy. Allopathy sees the whole body as a bag of chemicals. Basically, chemicals, neurotransmitters, And you know, and all the disturbance of the body is seen as disturbance in chemicals. And what is the solution? Introduction of some chemicals. And therefore, it is effective. It's able to solve problems. But there are some problems that they are not able to solve. Why? If you are not able to solve some problem, that means you have not taken all the factors which is responsible for a condition into consideration. Right? But if I can give another a group of facts which can explain all possible phenomena that can occur and how to solve that, what are the things responsible for it and how to introduce, then you know that that body of knowledge is the perfect knowledge. So we find that by taking this process, you're able to solve the problems. That's ultimately the proof. And that philosophy says that we are eternal. Okay, let's accept it. And immediately a person actually becomes fearless. Just this fact, just this understanding that we're going to exist in some form or the other, such a great relief. Death is just like temporary inconvenience. You are happy to undergo temporary inconvenience for future permanent convenience. Why people tolerate? People easily tolerate. Just like, who said, Prabhupada was, I think, traveling somewhere and the main road was broken and there was a bypass, you know, detour they had to take. And it says, temporary inconvenience for permanent convenience. And Prabhupada said, that's our human life is all about. What is tapasya? Tapasya means temporary inconvenience for permanent convenience. People happily tolerate temporary inconvenience because they know very soon, permanently, we're going to have convenience. But for people who don't have that permanent understanding of permanency, and this is all in all, and they really want to get the best out of it, and they don't get it, they become more miserable. So even this understanding gives us a great, you know, susukham kartum avyayam. It's eternally to our credit. Therefore, a person can easily tolerate, happily tolerate, all the little inconveniences. Even temporarily, even accepting without full understanding, let's accept it theoretically. Still, it gives us relief. What to speak of when you realize it? Okay? So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Go Premanandi. Hari Hari Bhagavatam.